So there's the FBI agent, Jerry Montaneri. He wants to talk to Whitey and Flemmie, and this is pushed by the Oklahoma City FBI and you.
Yes. Jerry is your very, very typical government FBI agent. He follows the rules. He's not corrupt, but he probably won't scream too loud when they keep telling him to not do that. Jerry tried to arrange an interview with these guys. Of course, the hallmark of criminal investigation interviews is it's not a group participation thing. They made these two guys show up at the FBI office in Boston together. They let them dictate that they would only talk with each other in the room so they knew exactly what's being said. You know, you try to find that one little thing. Well, yeah, that's a little discrepancy here. Let me go run it at this guy, see what he says. You know, that wasn't a thing that was done. And so, of course, these guys just denied that they were involved in the Wheeler thing. And again, the FBI said, look, they denied it. We gave you what you wanted. Go on. Forget about it.
These guys, meaning Whitey Bulger and Steve Flemmie.
Right.
And you were in on that interview.
I was not in on it. I was not allowed in on the interview.
Oh, you weren't?
No, that was just it. The FBI would not expose their prized possessions to me or the Tulsa Police Department.
It was only the FBI agent, Jerry. They let him do the interviewing.
Yes.
And so why do you think they did not want you in there?
Well, obviously they wouldn't want me in there because I would ask hard questions that they wouldn't be able to answer without lying and make it a blatant lie. I wouldn't allow the two guys at the same time interview. I would just be a fly in their ointment. So their resolution to all that was, hey, we got Jerry Montaneri. We'll send him in there to interview him. And then you guys from Tulsa, forget about it.
And then Jerry didn't have as much information as you had?
Jerry wasn't a homicide investigator. He didn't have that information. He was an honest guy. They did put an honest guy in there, but he wasn't the right guy.
They knew that.
Yeah. They created that whole situation. And once again, just like they had done after John Callahan was interviewed by Connally, they said, hey, look, there's nothing here. Halloran was a liar. Connally said it was no big deal. Now we've had an interview of Whitey and Flemmie. So just go back to Tulsa. We don't want to hear from me again.
And then Whitey would not take a polygraph.
Whitey wouldn't take a polygraph. And it really became a clamor at that time because now we not only had Tulsa police, Massachusetts State Police, Connecticut State Police, we have now added this big hulk of a guy from the Metro-Dade Police, Shelton Merritt. We're just making contacts right and left saying, this smells, this is corruption, this is bad. And we're all going at the guy that's common to all these cases, Paul Rico. Totally unknown to us, Paul Rico was still really valuable to the federal government. They were investigating a possibly corrupt federal judge by the name of Al C. Hastings in South Miami, Florida. Hastings was supposedly selling cases for money, selling decisions for money. And so they used Paul Rico. One thing that we agreed on, Paul Rico could pass as a mobster. So they put him undercover as a mobster, sent him into Al C. Hastings to buy a case. So here we are. Everybody is screaming that Paul Rico is corrupt. It's now starting to become public. They've got a problem. They have to disclose any potential bad information on any government witness against Al C. Hastings. And here we're a pot of witch's brew with bad stuff on Rico. They call us and they say, hey, we're going to help you guys out. We've told you that none of this matters, but we're going to get together and we're going to clear the air. It's going to be wonderful. The federal government's going to pay for a little confab down there in Tulsa, and we're going to help you out on all your cases. So they did. They brought in guys from Boston PD. They brought in guys from the state police in Massachusetts, Florida FBI agents, Florida State Police, Connecticut State. I mean, we had 20-some guys there. Of course, we had Tulsa FBI. And then we had Washington headquarters. They put everybody up at, I think at the time, it was the Westin Hotel downtown. It was pricey. Booze, float. Nobody could pay for anything. We had happy hours. We had catered dinners. We met in the federal courthouse in a courtroom that was not being used. And it was all in the spirit of sharing information. It was all kumbaya and holding hands and feeling good. And so the last morning, everybody was starting to filter out afternoon, and we had one last meeting in the morning. The guys from the Washington headquarters were running this meeting. We're all there. And they said, hey, look, here's the deal. Anybody have any bad information on Paul Rico, you need to get it out here right now. You need to tell us. And we said, my God, that's all we've been talking about. Have you not been listening? They said, no, we want to know your sources. We want to know everything about it because he's going to be a witness against this Judge Hal C. Hastings. I mean, it infuriated everybody. The entire group from Connecticut State Police walked out, obscenities flowing. Everybody knew that we had just been set up and that the corruption continued. They thought they could cover us up with a few drinks. That really drew the line in the sand.
Yeah. Did you ever get to sit down face-to-face with some of these major players, like Whitey Bulger? Did you see him face-to-face?
I've never seen him face-to-face. He hates me immensely. I've got some stories. Information has squeaked out on him, but I never saw him.
How did he know then that you were so much onto him? Why did he hate you so much?
Well, you know, we'd see an occasional story here in Tulsa in the news. This was a daily dose of stories in the city of Austin because it was just so ingrained. Billy Bulger, the president of the state senate, who opposed busing of blacks into South Boston. This was their entire culture. This struck at everything. This struck at corrupt politics. It touched major national politicians. Here's Whitey Bulger's mystique aura. You know, there had already been things like The Departed, where Jack Nicholson plays this fictional character of Whitey Bulger. I mean, they couldn't turn on the TV without seeing this. At that time, and still actually today, I was pretty straightforward with the news media people from there. Hey, this is all I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to get involved in your mess, but you certainly have a big one, and it's impacting me. I was not scared of giving a quote. In fact, it actually really played to our hand very well. Any publicity is good publicity. The one thing that I was tasked to do was to keep this case alive. I testified before Congress in 2000. I said Billy Bulger belongs in prison in McAllister. Those kind of things just like, oh my gosh, this is a My Cuff headline day. One of the greatest ones that really cut to the core of Whitey Bulger. The FBI's wanted poster of him was, you know, Whitey might be walking his dog or going to a military museum or having this grand lifestyle as a retired person. And it was so respectful. My wanted poster, in contrast, was Whitey's a degenerate. He's got terrible bad breath. You might find him around a nudist colony. And it really broke the dike on degenerate stuff coming out on Whitey Bulger. For so long, everybody had painted Whitey Bulger as Robin Hood. Hey, he's the guy that carries old ladies' groceries up to their apartment. So after my wanted poster broke, these columnists, Howie Carr, who's written books, and a couple of other of these columnists, you know, I was like McLeod. And they just took that to its furthest limit in their columns. So after I kind of outed Whitey, you know, and all this gay stuff coming in, I didn't care. I never said he was gay. But the front page headline and a half page picture was of Whitey Bulger, and he had this hat and a dark trench coat. It just looked weird. And the headline of it was Gay Blade. And the whole story was, this is what the FBI is telling you, but this cop from Tulsa, Oklahoma, who we all love, is telling us the real story. Whitey's a degenerate. Let's go after him. That kind of stuff just struck to the core of Whitey.
We don't know that he was gay.
Oh, I never said he was gay. But we do know that he visit Provincetown and different gay hangouts. Oh. And then later on, it was like, well, old Joe Blow that we all know in Boston, yeah, he's an outwardly gay guy. He used to meet Whitey in this bar. And, oh, by the way, Paul Rico's gay, too. He had a love affair with J. Edgar Hoover and Clyde Tolson. That's in congressional testimony. And actually, that story in and of itself, that he was gay, caused Paul Rico to ask Flemmy and another guy named Salimi, Frank Cadillac Salimi, to actually go murder a guy for him. That was spreading the rumor that Paul was gay. But I never had anything to do with calling anybody gay.
Then he did have a longtime girlfriend, which led to his arrest, as a matter of fact.